Our great God in heaven, we thank you for your compassion and love every day. Thank you for being with this church, Father. You know the struggles and the successes that this church has experienced for almost 100 years. You know what we've been about and have not been about. But we pray that whatever the past has been, that as we function now and look to the future, may we seek to be strong in your truth and in your spirit, and that we may take these things within ourselves and become the people that you want us to be, and that all the people around us need for us to be, so that we can minister to them and show them that truly your people live here in Josephine County. So help us now, Father, that we may conquer our own selves, that we might conquer our own sin and live in righteousness. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, so far we have looked at, you know the danger about sin. We put R on the end of danger now, don't we? Yeah. And, of course, you have to desire to stop. That might seem axiomatic, self-evident, but I think it has to be really addressed. I think some people know they're supposed to, but they really don't want to stop. So you have to really have that desire. We also noticed last week the idea of meditating, you know, on Scripture, and then pray relentlessly, we started to look at. And I use that word relentlessly because for me, I try and just, when I talk about someone or something being relentless, it's like it won't give up. It just, if someone's relentless with me, they just keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. They won't give up, and I fight back, and they just keep on going. Well, that's how I think we got to approach prayer. Don't let anything stop us. Just keep on approaching God. Phil? Joseph?
Pray without ceasing.
Right, exactly. Pray without ceasing. Exactly. Okay, but for what shall we pray?
Pray for help.
All right, help.
Strength.
What was that?
Strength.
I'm sorry, Toby.
Strength.
Strength for what? What do you mean? Strength?
To overcome.
Sin, all right. And that would include resisting something, right? Mm-hmm. What? I'm hearing mumbling. Remember, I've lost 70% of my hearing, so I can't tell what you're saying.
Temptation.
What was that? Temptation, okay. Turn to Matthew chapter 6.
One important one you need up there is God's will be done. Pray for that.
Okay. Temptation. Did I spell that right? I'm having problems with spelling tonight. Okay, so yes, I want God's will to be done in my life. I mean, why do I sin? Because at that moment, I've not chosen His will, right? It's my will. And my will gets me in trouble. Okay, so look at Matthew 6. And this is what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. Although it's really a prayer for us. And look at verse 13. What do you think about verse 13? Deliver us from evil. And what about just before that? bring us not into temptation, or the New King James, do not lead us into temptation. What are some of the other readings that you might have on that? Does anybody have the ESV? No ESVs? I know some of you probably have it on your electronic device. And I forgot to silence mine, by the way. I'm so glad no one ever calls me when I'm at class. Okay. I've always kind of wondered about that. Why do I have to ask God, don't lead me into evil? Or what did your translation again say, Terry? Well, why would God even bring you in temptation? Well, what's going on here in this passage? What are we asking him to do that maybe he wouldn't do if we didn't ask him?
Give us strength to resist the devil and temptations that are very tempting out there. We need his strength and walk with him all the time, and to have friends, it seems like every one of them have evil deeds, you know, going on. I got a friend that every word out of her mouth.
Yeah. Okay. So, does somebody have their hand over here? Toby.
Well, I was going to say, God wants us to depend upon him. So, he wants us to constantly come to him, asking him to help us straighten us from temptation. And he wants us to depend upon him.
Okay, so it's not as though he would try and tempt us, because James chapter 1 says that he won't. God doesn't tempt us. But we do need his leadership, right? So definitely, I don't want to go down the evil way, God. Don't lead me in that way. But lead me in the righteous way. Or is it Psalm 23 that...
Allow me to be into temptation, because...
Say that again, Diane.
Would that be...
Yeah.
Allow that to happen
too, for a reason. Okay. Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, why do you, let's go.
Don't even allow me to go there.
Right. Yeah. I follow what you're saying. Okay. Now I understand your point. You know, because who made the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?
God did.
So he wasn't tempting Adam and Eve to sin, but you know, he told them, "Don't eat that from that tree," and of course, instead of traveling to the other side of the globe or whatever, they hung around it, obviously. But Paul?
The court puts down, lead us not into trials, but rescue us from the evil one.
Okay. That's Brother McCord's translation. All right. Interesting.
Those things are there for us to, he wants us to be obedient, and there's nothing there for us to worry about.
Right.
To know
there has to be a choice, or following him is really no choice. It's just robotic. Yeah. I guess for me in the past, I think I've always overanalyzed what Jesus said there. It's possible to do that. I was just talking on the phone with someone today for about 35 minutes who called me from another county in Oregon. And it's someone I know, though. And he was struggling with understanding some things. I says, well, wait a minute, brother. You want to do exactly what Scripture says, but what you're doing without realizing is adding to God's word. sometimes in our zeal in wanting to do precisely what he said, we're adding things to it to make sure that we do what it says. And if God thought that you needed these other things, he would have put them in there. So just take it as it is. Don't overanalyze it. Don't overdo it. Don't overthink. I mean, we need to think, okay? But is it possible to overthink something? You know, I think it is. So just think, but don't run ahead of God. There you go, like Jonah. Didn't he run ahead of God? You know, he fully expected God to destroy the Ninevites, whether they repented or not. So, okay, somebody, Dave?
I was going to say the Lord's Prayer, one of those things here is don't lead us into temptation. Don't lead us into temptation. That's part of the Lord's Prayer.
Right. That's what we're reading right here, exactly.
And that doesn't indicate that, and that to me doesn't indicate that we think God would, but probably he would offer a stop that he could see something coming. I don't think that there's any indication at all that we think that God would lead us into temptation.
Right, yeah.
But that's sinful.
Yeah.
And sin is not part of it.
Yeah, and I think and there may be an implication here. You know, don't lead me into temptation, but lead me in the paths of righteousness. In that Psalm 23, there's something there about leadership, and I know this passage super well, but I can't think about writing it right now. See, Lord is my shepherd, shall not want. He makes me to lie down. He leads me beside the still waters. Verse 3, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. Okay, so it's not as though Jesus is saying God could lead you into temptation if you don't ask him not to do it. No, that's not that at all. Just, God, I want your leadership, but I don't want to use you as a justification for sin. Some people do that. John 16, verse 2. Jesus told his disciples that some people were going to be persecuting them and even killing them, thinking that they were rendering service to God. So there they would think that God was leading them into an action that ultimately was sinful. So I don't want that kind of leadership. I want the leadership that says, God, that this is the right thing to do. Okay, Karen Fitzwater, that was it, yeah. Sure.
You needed help and you got help.
That's right. Yeah, we can't forget to do that, can we? Phil, were you going to say something, Joseph? I thought I saw your hand up.
Yeah, I was going to say about, you know, putting too much into the scriptures, like some people don't understand it, so they got to read between the lines.
Yeah, right.
And they add all that extra stuff to it, what they think.
Right. Yeah, and we have to be really careful with that. Also look at Matthew 26:41. This is Jesus speaking to Peter, James, and John. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's gone away to pray to the Father. He comes back and the disciples are sleeping. And so he said in verse 41, "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation." So there's a connection there between avoiding temptation and prayer. And of course, this class is about, I've titled it Help, I Can't Stop Sinning. So what do I do to stop sinning? Well, I'm not going to sin if I don't give in to temptation. And I'll be stronger against the drawing power of temptation if I've prayed about these things, like Jesus said. Okay, now go back to Psalm 125. Verse 3. "For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity." Okay, so that tells me that God does There's things that he does on our behalf.
What Psalm is that?
125, verse 3. There's things that he does to keep us from sinning. It doesn't mean that if we want to sin that he's going to keep us from sinning, but he's going to deliver us in such a way. Or maybe another way is, 1 Corinthians 10:13, is it? That there's a way of escape? Is that what you're going to bring up? I stole your thunder. No one heard 1 Corinthians 10:13, right? You did not hear 1 Corinthians 10:13. Toby and then Michael. Sure, right. Yeah, and for example, like...
Living in the world,
yeah.
And then it's the spirit mode.
Mm-hmm. Well, for example, Paul told Timothy, I think it's 1 Timothy 5:21, keep, I memorize it in the American Standard Version, so keep thyself pure. That's a tough one to memorize, isn't it? Three words. Keep yourself pure. And that message pops up in my head often. You know, remember, Don, keep yourself pure. And that includes a lot of different things. So that's the Spirit's sword entering into my heart, leading me in the right way. So now, is this going to be your comment about 1 Corinthians 10:13 that we've not heard about?
Wait, actually, that's still my thunder.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm trying to think of the verse. I was looking at it and you brought it up. Thank you.
Oh, so you didn't have any comment on it, you just wanted to bring the verse up. Yeah, okay. And that might ask us, we might be asking God to help me to see that way of escape. Because sometimes we intentionally blind ourselves, don't we? Okay, Psalm 141. Yes, Dave?
Well, back in James 1:13 and 14, it says that no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed.
Right.
It brings it back to you, it's still this avoiding sin or going in, but it brings it back for you to work on where your need is and pray to God that he can help you have the strength to overcome these weaknesses.
Sure, right. Amen. Okay, so Psalm 141, what did I say, 3 and 4? I hadn't got that far yet. Okay, Psalm 141, 3 and 4. Which says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. Okay, first of all, in verse 3, am I the only one here who has to make sure that he controls the tongue? I mean, how many times have you said something that you regretted, you know? What was that? Yeah, I've always admired Samuel because the Bible says that he let none of his words drop to the ground. And I thought that probably meant a couple things. First of all, when he prophesied, you know, God fulfilled it. So his word didn't drop to the ground like in failure because it couldn't be kept. But I think also as a man, Samuel did not say more than he was supposed to say. He didn't say less than what he was supposed to say. He didn't say something else in place of what he was supposed to say. He controlled his tongue perfectly. And, you know, go ahead. I think so. It says he didn't let any of his words fall to the ground. So that doesn't mean he didn't sin in any other way. But, yeah. And if he ever did now and then, it would be an exception and not the rule. I think there are some people that the rule is all their words are, you know, they're always saying things like, but Diana meant a little while ago. Pardon?
Do you know how much your brain would have to be vibrating so that your tongue didn't vibrate?
Right. But I think it's possible. That's why God tells us to do it. But we resist that. Wouldn't you say? There's things I want to say, and I say it, you know, even though I know what God's word says.
That hurts me to think about.
But Diane, aren't there? I'm guessing that there are several sins, even many sins, that you're not even ever tempted to commit, and you've never committed them. Well, when was the last time you murdered? When was the last time you murdered someone?
Not lately.
Not lately. When was the last time you stole a car that you really liked?
Here, go.
Okay, so we can keep listing some things. Yeah, yeah. There's at least two there. Yeah. Oh, sure, yeah.
That's
yeah, well, James 3 talks about, you know, if you can control your tongue, you can probably control the rest of your life. Because that's, you're right, it's just, it's easier and quicker to sin with your tongue than probably it is anything else other than your thoughts.
Well, I know, but my thoughts make my head.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Tim, was that you? Right.
And so that really shows the integrity that he had, the integrity of his life.
And you know, Paul said the same thing in Acts 20. He says, you know, I coveted no one's gold or silver, and I don't remember what else he said, but you know that these hands ministered to my own needs. Yeah. Yes, Phil.
If you really want to sin, all you got to do is get mad.
Yes.
People get mad and say the wrong thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Okay, now verse 4. He's speaking to David. This is David here speaking. Again, my translation says, do not incline my heart to any evil thing to practice wicked works. Okay, well, it's not as though God would anyways, would he? But it's still, I think he's still expressing a desire to God. God, I don't want to sin. Don't let me go there.
Well, is there a scripture to something to the effect, I won't let us be tempted beyond
that? 1 Corinthians 10:13.
Okay.
Yeah, let's turn to that passage.
In a sense, then, if he's not going to let us go where he knows we can't handle it.
Right.
But
yeah.
Not going to stop us from the temptation. He's leaving that up to us to do what we're supposed to do.
Right. Yeah, so 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So when I take this passage and the others, especially Psalm 141, verse 4, that tells me that God has a very active part in my life. Right? I mean, otherwise, if he doesn't have a very active part in my life, I mean, right down to me as an individual, I'm not just talking about humanity, but me, if he doesn't, then what's the point of these passages? So it's a very personal thing. So pray to him and be relentless about it. Okay. number next here. Okay, do not think constantly on overcoming your sin. Since we were talking about the tongue and language, let's say I have a problem using a certain four-letter word, and I constantly tell myself, I have to overcome saying. Well, what am I doing? I'm reminding myself of my sin. Yeah, and it's constant. I'm bringing it up in front of me every time. You know. Okay. Obviously, I have to address my sin. But at a certain point, we have to just get our minds off that sin, even overcoming that specific sin, and think on what? Think on the Lord, exactly. So let's turn to a couple passages here. Let's go to Philippians 4. While this doesn't mention the Lord specifically, I think you'll get the point. Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Or 7 and 8. Is that right? No, I meant 8 and 9. I got it wrong in my notes here. Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Romans 8, 5 and 6. No, 5 through 9. Okay. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You set your mind on the things of the Spirit. 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, or the mind of the flesh, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Okay, so you see the point that, you know, what should be occupying my mind is, yes, I need to address my sins, and I need to confess them to God. And I think we need to come out and say what it is. God, I sinned when I cut that guy off the road because he upset me, you know, or cursed out that customer in the business because I didn't like the way he was treating me or something, you know. But then we just can't keep dwelling on that sin. It's got to be on these things that the Bible tells us to think about. Look at Romans 6. Now, if you do need to address the sin, here is something that you can do. Personalize Romans 6. Okay, so let's say the problem that a person has is bearing false witness, or the word we more commonly use today is gossip. Okay, so let's look at Romans 6 and read it this way then. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in gossip that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to gossip live any longer in it? Okay, skipping down to 12. Therefore, do not let gossip reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members, such as your tongue, as instruments of unrighteousness to gossip, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For gossip shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So in other words, grace will have dominion over you. Okay, so see what I'm saying there? You know, if you need to take your sin and use the scriptures to address that sin specifically, I would encourage you to do that. I've done that before. And it's sobering, because you'll really see what is going on here in Romans 6 and what Paul's teaching, because it's now being specific about what is on your mind. Here's the temptation I've got. And speaking of that, the next point here I would say is, I don't know where my blue pen is, so I'm not in a different color because I think it's more important or something. And turn to Romans 13. I'm a firm believer in, my biggest enemy is a guy named Don Rule. It's not ISIS. It's not, well, you could just list all kinds of things. The biggest problem is me. So now listen to Romans 13 and verse 14. Put on, well, you know what, let's start at verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first began, or believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cut off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. How do you understand the very last part of that verse there, verse 14? Okay. Christ is in us. He's covering us. Okay. So what does it mean then? Don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust.
Don't put yourself in the place, that position. Like if there was someone, if there was a, I don't want to put my place where that sin is.
Okay.
So stay away from it. I don't want to think about it.
Yeah, in other words, if your sin, if you know it's going to be taking on in a certain place, you're saying, in a certain location, don't go there.
Yeah.
Why tempt yourself? What you're doing is you're making provision for the flesh for it to be fulfilled. And if you're really wanting to stop sinning, then why go where you're going to be tempted? Why tempt yourself? Tim.
I like the way that the NIV puts this. It says, don't put yourself, do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So it's like you're saying, you need to not even think about it.
Yeah.
And that's why, like in Hebrews, it says, you know, set our minds on Christ, you know, really focus. You know, we really need to have Him as the focus of our life for everything.
Right, yeah. And He has it right there in that verse too, doesn't He? You know, that you put on Christ and don't tempt yourself. Don't, what was that again? Don't make plans or something like that, you said?
It says, do
Oh, do not think about how to do it. Okay. And to me, that's like that. That's like saying, don't plan. Don't make plans for it. Because, you know, we're confronted with sin enough as it is. We don't need to try and, or we're confronted with temptation enough as it is. Why go out of the way to tempt myself?
I'll say that in my own life, I found that to be so true.
Mm-hmm.
If I have thought about something and the sin that I have dealt with and I keep thinking about it, then I am beat down.
Yeah, okay, right. Right. Amen. Over here is with someone.
I kind of see it more of an engineering situation. Don't schedule a place or a time that you could fit or could sin into the agenda for the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, we have enough occasions that tempt us. Why add to it?
Yeah, don't plan out well. I would have that extra time. Like, I've never smoked, so I don't have a problem with it.
Right.
And but I know that there are people that do anything in the world not to smoke and fail.
Right.
And I'm not sure why that is, but it becomes a personal thing for them.
Yeah, and there's probably a lot of reasons why for that, but I think one might be some I know say they need to stop, but they don't really have a desire. And also this one here, they're thinking, they don't understand that they need to get out of that thinking. Even thinking about overcoming it endlessly still keeps you in that groove. You know, Karen Calvert.
I was thinking of the Sunday school song, Be Careful Little Eyes, What You
Say. Oh, yeah. And what else? So it's eyes and ears and what else? Isn't it feet also? And hands, little hands, what you do? Yeah. That's exactly what that song is talking about, is Romans 13:14, isn't it? Sounds to me. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Is that how it goes, Paige? I saw you shaking your head earlier. Is that, you know, be careful, little hands, what you do. And how about be careful, little mind, what you think? Or something. What was that? A little mouth. What'd you say? Okay, that's right. Is there any more to that song?
Is there any more we need?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so where are my notes? All right. So I think another important thing is to remember. Pardon? Yes, back to the blue. Remember the judgment. Now, I think about heaven a lot, what it must look like, what it sounds like, and just what the whole experience is. And of course, before we get there, there's the judgment day. We meet God. And we're going to have a talk with God, or He's going to have a talk with us, whichever way it goes. What's that going to be like? What do I want? You know, the Bible, well, let's just look at some passages. The Bible indicates, let's go to Ecclesiastes 12, that we're going to have to give an account to Him of how we lived. Now, I believe the only exception to that would be the sins of which you have repented and for which He has forgiven you. You're not going to meet those with the judgment. Hebrews 8 says that when God forgives, He forgets. But what if you haven't repented of it, and hence He hasn't forgiven you, and now you've got to meet Him? And here's why, God, I continue to do that sin in spite of what You taught me in the Word. I don't want to go there, do you? Okay. So let me see. Ecclesiastes 12, last two verses. Let us hear the conclusion of the matter, the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. Why? For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Wow. Okay, now let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to Matthew 12. And this one here specifies something in particular, going back to the tongue. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Oh my goodness. All right, Romans 2:6. We'll start at verse 5. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. And then he tells you, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. Romans 14:12. So then, each of us shall give account of himself to God. That's pretty humbling to me. Sobering, I mean. 2 Corinthians 5. Okay, we'll look at 2 Corinthians 5, 9, and 10 next week. No, we won't. Next week's the singing. So the week after that. And then I just have a few other things and we'll be done with this class. So if you'd like to prepare for next time, read 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10. And then I've been asked to look at demonology. What does the Bible say about demons? So we'll do a class on demonology. Yes?
When you talk about judgment and all things we read through it, I don't think judgment is going to go as quickly as 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, I who knows how he's going to handle it, right? Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how they're going to do that in a quick trial. There's going to be a lot of us that might have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why it's important, I think, to be a Christian. You know, and because for the Christian, the judgment will actually be a good time. But for the one who's outside of Christ, you cannot think of a more terrifying moment.